Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, also CEO for Mage LLC, management consulting firm. And all week long, we are being located at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, UMass Dartmouth. And I want to thank our host for the whole week, Toby Stapleton. And we're going to be talking to him very soon. But I also want to thank my co-host right now, Peter Myerson from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Myerson & Plout.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Right.
Thank you, Toby.
Yeah, it's great.
This is a very impressive facility.
Yeah, very impressive. And great support to the state and to the Commonwealth. And we're going to talk about something which I think is dear to all our listeners' hearts, and that is how to start a business. Correct?
Great. Yep, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be back on the show.
Thank you very much. And we know you're going to be a regular. You're one of our reporters. And so let's talk about how do we start a business and all the things that you do here that support that activity.
Sure, absolutely. You know, the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship was created about 16 years ago to do just that, help people start businesses, specifically technology and manufacturing businesses here in southeastern Massachusetts. And we do that in a variety of ways that, you know, we provide not only the physical space for companies to start up, but we provide the laboratories here in the building to help them build a product, build a prototype, and get to market quicker. And it's by providing that kind of support that a solo entrepreneur or even a team of engineers, if it's a product-based company or a group of students, because we're doing more with getting our students and faculty to think about entrepreneurship. And key to doing that is bringing successful and maybe, you know, in some cases, not so successful entrepreneurs into the classroom to talk about real-world experiences around entrepreneurship. So we've been, you know, encouraging the startup encouraging startups in southeastern Massachusetts by doing everything from training programs to informational sessions to, as I think you guys are familiar with, the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum, which is now in its 10th year of operation. And that's a forum that meets nine times a year from September to through June. To do a monthly topic that's of interest to an entrepreneur or somebody starting a business, really with a focus on technology. You know, we have a host of different kinds of businesses, from family businesses to technology businesses, who attend those meetings. But the idea is to provide a place to not only network, but to hear case studies from successful entrepreneurs. Because what we found is that by providing the chance to share experiences between entrepreneurs, the entrepreneurs learn from each other and are able to take those, again, those conversations that they have with other entrepreneurs and use it to drive their own businesses, or at least thoughtfully, you know, contemplate how to get going with their own.
I've actually attended a few, and they're very good.
Oh, good. You know, that,
I haven't been down in a year or two, but, you know.
Peter has been a bustling entrepreneur for decades. You know, one thing you said which made me feel good, and you talked about failure. I think one of the problems that I experienced early in my career in MBA programs was that it created a false expectation from students and people who were studying entrepreneurship. It created this sense that we're all going to get rich and do well. And one of the things that I like that you're saying that I've seen is a different trend today is showing people that failure is the cornerstone to learning how to be successful and getting people to understand how to deal with failure. So you mentioned that earlier, and I wanted to sort of accentuate that point.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely, you know, especially, again, we're doing a lot of work now with encouraging students to think about entrepreneurship. And students, you know, particularly are headline driven around entrepreneurship. So they hear of stories where Google has acquired a company for hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars. They hear about somebody who is essentially an overnight success in their entrepreneurial venture, and that's not the case for the 99.9% of the rest of the population when it comes to creating a startup or going into business. Most companies, you know, have a little bit of there's a period of struggle that they have a good idea, or at least an idea that they think is good, and they launch into the marketplace and maybe there's some market validation where they take off quickly, but But typically, there's a period of time where they struggle to build some traction in the marketplace, get a product out of the prototype mode and into a commercial production, and in general commercialize what they're trying to do. So it's really providing support to those companies who are in that that death valley between startup and when they really hit, either bringing outside money into the company or just growing organically. If you look at the majority of companies who are in the building today, the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, the companies that have been here for a little bit and are actually seeing success in the market, all of them are growing organically. In other words, they started with their own funds to build the company and build the prototype, and then they're now growing through sales. They've gone to market, they're building distribution, they found customers, they are selling their product, and that's how they're using the cash flow from those operations to build their business. So it's a much slower path to growth than the headlines that most people read about when they read about entrepreneurship, which is that somebody started in a dorm room, although we have had those stories, started in a dorm room and then went to $100 million valuation or more, and then was acquired by Facebook or Google. So our job, I think, is really, as Jeffrey said, bring in entrepreneurs who have been in the trenches and allow the students to learn from those experiences in a way that helps them to get beyond the headlines. And
there must be an awful lot of applicants for these spaces. How do you select who comes in?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. I took over last year, and one of the things that I instituted was a admissions committee. Because you're right, we do get a large number of applicants a month who are looking to come in and use the space here. Because we're a good location. We're not only a good location, but we also have the physical infrastructure to support companies, and we're tied to the University of Massachusetts. So we have all of the resources of the university to bring to bear to help a company grow. So the way that we do it is that we have an application process. We ask for essentially a business plan, but as entrepreneurs at this stage of the game typically don't have a fully flushed out business plan, nor do they need one in most cases. But we ask them to at least put on paper why they think they need to come into the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And what we're really looking for is that there's a match between what we have to offer and what they're looking for in order to support the growth. Because this year alone, we brought in 5 new technology companies into the incubator. And that was out of a pool of about a dozen companies who had applied to come in. And the companies that came in all had not only a need for the physical space, because they all do, but they had a real, let me use an example. One of the companies that came in is a company that's developing a physical product. They need help with building the prototype. And so they needed to connect with students, College of Engineering students. They needed help getting access to resources of not only the city, the Fall River Office of Economic Development, the Small Business Development Center, and others. But they needed our prototype and machine shop that is here in the building in order to build the product. And so by looking at what their needs are and how we could help them, absolutely we decided that this was a good fit. This is one of the 5 that came in over the last 6 months. And it's really seeing the connection between, because we want to be able to play an active role in the success of the companies that come in. And so we want to help them build the company, build the product, build the team, and then scale quickly, because the whole idea is to build a company, help them, we're an incubator, so help them incubate.
Accelerator,
yes. Help them get to market quicker and help them grow, scale, and then get out of here so that we can bring another company in. And the majority of our companies, as they're scaling, when they bring people on, they're hiring from a 15 to 20 square mile radius from the building, so the likelihood that they're going to stay right here in southeastern Massachusetts is very good. So the whole idea,
they build their network here, they got to stay here. Yeah, this is where their roots are.
That's right. And if you look at the 40 companies who have graduated the incubators since inception, the majority of those are still here in Massachusetts. And we have three in less than two square miles of the building. In fact, we have one building that graduated, one company rather, that graduated that's in the building right next door. We have another that is a mile down the road, a company called Aquabotics. They make underwater autonomous, remotely operated vehicles. And then we have a company, Micromagnetics, that's in the Fall River Industrial Park that started here with a professor who had a technology that would help companies, semiconductor companies, see that there's a power leak in a computer chip, but also to see exactly where that fault was and help computer chip designers and manufacturers assess and fix those problems.
So before we go, can you give us a sense over the next couple of months, what are the programs coming on board at SNEEF and the Center for Innovation?
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, if you're interested in keeping up with us, I recommend you go to the Facebook, and we are the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship at UMass Dartmouth. Recommend keeping up because we keep the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum and CIE events readily updated on that Facebook page. But in September, the second Thursday of September, September 8th of this year, we're holding a Piranha Pond in conjunction with the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum, the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship, and UMass Dartmouth, where we bring in eight companies will have a chance to make eight entrepreneurs will have a 5-minute pitch to a panel of investors, and then a 10-minute Q&A followed by a thumbs up or thumbs down by the investor panel, and that thumbs up will either indicate that they're interested in having a further conversation to do due diligence or see if they really want to make an investment, or a thumbs down, which is we're not interested. It could be we're not interested now, or we're not interested at all. But that'll be taking place here at the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship, and it will kick off the 2017 programming year of the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum. But I can also tell you the other signature event that we're doing this year is December 1st, the Marine Technology annual event. It's the Maritime Innovations Program. We bring in over 150 of the top marine technology startups and existing businesses that are here in New England as well as Canada and throughout the country to talk about issues that are important to them. And the topic this year is really on Arctic exploration, looking at the Arctic and all the issues that marine tech companies have in doing business in the Arctic, as well as our NAFTA trading partner, Canada. So we're doing this in conjunction with the Canadian Consulate and the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship.
That's a dynamic topic because with the federal elections coming, that whole NAFTA situation could change. I'm sure people are thinking about it, so it's a point of topic. If someone wants to find you, how would they do that?
So the best way, the easiest way, is by email, tstapleton@umassd.edu. The website, www.umassd.edu/innovate.
Great. I want to thank you for being on the show today. We know we're going to have you back again, but we're here all week and you're hosting us. Thank you very much. I want to thank my co-host, Peter Meyerson from Cohen, Rasnick, Meyerson & Plaut.
This is a privilege.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.